Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Recovery is a team sport, and Parkwood Behavioral Health System can help you get back in the game of life and break free from addiction. Visit ParkwoodBHS.com. Parkwood, your recovery team for life's biggest wins. With limited exceptions, physicians are not employees or agents of this facility.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Thursday night. Anything going on in the college football SEC world today? It's been absolutely wild to sit back and watch what is going on at LSU. I mean, truly just a bizarre situation. And guys, I'm sure you saw it. I know you saw it. Scott Woodward, the athletic director, was fired tonight. The person that is apparently going to lead the search, not kidding, the person that is going to lead the search, or the sitting athletic director at LSU now that Woodward's been fired, was previously suspended as part of an investigation into mishandling sexual assault. Like, that is like the footnote in this story. That's how pretty crazy all of this is. But we're here first to talk about Ole Miss and South Carolina on this edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Always glad that you guys are here. Really appreciate you wherever you are, whenever, however you are, for listening and all that good stuff. Programming note, Saturday post-game, there will not be a post-actual game Saturday show. We'll just do that on Sunday. Not that any of you care, but I am actually really excited. My dad and his wife are going to be in town this weekend, and we are going to the game. So my dad will get to go to a football game with my son, who is named after him, for the first time. So my son and Pop are going to their first football game together, and I'm beyond thrilled about that. So no post game because we will actually be there. Well, we'll be sitting amongst the crowd, the audience. No press box for me, buddy. I'll be sitting with all you guys, freezing our rear ends off. And so we'll do all the post game reaction on Sunday. So anyway, glad you guys are here. I've got an interview for you coming up here in just a second after I tell you a couple of things. Of course, don't forget to subscribe, leave a comment, hit the notification bell, like all that good stuff right here on YouTube. Also, wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And this edition is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Toyota of Brookhaven, exit 40 in Brookhaven, or online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. If you're looking for a great car buying experience, that is where you're going to get it. Regardless of where you are in Mississippi, it's worth the trip. They'll also give you $1,000 immediately, just off the top, if you just tell them that it was me that sent you there. One of the highest rated service departments in the state, outstanding in-house financing. Check them out, toyotaofbrookhaven.com. I'm really excited to see how Ole Miss responds. We've talked about it all week on the radio show. You know, a lot of stuff going on in college football. Now you've got the distraction of expectations. I'm sure they're seeing it everywhere, how good Ole Miss is, pencil them in or sharpie them in as a playoff team, and they have to block all that out and play well because, as we said, this is a South Carolina team that, albeit one that has a lot of flaws, can still beat you. If you give Sellers time, which they've had a hard time doing, but if you give him time, he can create some explosive plays and make this game really interesting. So I'm excited to see how this team responds. I'm excited yet again to watch this offense under Trinidad Chambliss. I've just loved the way that they've called it. South Carolina defensively, though, sneaky better than you would probably think considering their record. I'm curious to see how Pete Golding attacks this because this is a South Carolina offensive line that's had a really hard time protecting Lenore Sellers. So do you initially try to just get home with four and give the back end of your defense that has struggled basically all season, as we've talked about, some more support, hoping and expecting you can get home with four? Or do you see that and like see blood in the water and tee off on them with a lot of aggression? I'm very curious and excited, to be honest with you, because I love stuff like this, to see how Ole Miss is going to approach this game, both schematically and then just as a team. You're going to learn a lot about the psyche of this football team coming back home after a big win and playing an opponent that, while it's an SEC opponent, I mean, you look at the record, you see 3-5, and you hope that they aren't distracted by the expectations and everybody telling them how great that they are, because they have to take care of business. Environment's going to be awesome. And I kind of ripped on the social media people today on the radio show, because number one, the game was sold out this summer. Student section sold all their tickets. Available tickets for fans all sold out. South Carolina very recently returned a good portion of their allotment, like a lot of it. And so that's a last-minute availability of tickets. They are all going to be sold. The game is going to sell out. I have no idea for the life of me why people don't understand that by now. But the constant stuff on social media, please be loud, please, please sell all the tickets. Oh my gosh, it's not sold out yet. Just, I mean, ultimately it makes you look bad when your official accounts are kind of doing that kind of stuff. When has there not been a great crowd for a conference game under Lane Kiffin? I mean, when is that day? I mean, even Tulane this year was full, a little sleepy because it was 48-0 and it was Tulane, but the stadium has been full. The environments are going to be great. This one is going to be too. All you did this week from a social media perspective was just point to yourself to give other programs that are trying to make yours look lesser. You're giving them ammunition to make fun of you, when in reality, the game was sold out months ago and South Carolina just returned some allotment and all those are being sold too. Anyway, get out of your own way sometimes. Just drawing attention to a non-problem is just a bad move. But other than that, I'm very, very excited about not only going up there in the personal stuff, but to see how this team responds and how this game goes. This is interesting territory for Ole Miss football. They have not played games, even though it's a team with a losing record, but they have not had the opportunity to play many games in November with such stakes on them. And so I'm looking forward to that. Once your comments are coming in, I do want to get to this interview because I think it was good. Lulu Kessin is her name. She covers South Carolina for the Greenville News, which is my hometown paper where I grew up in upstate South Carolina. And so I will play that for you. And then we, of course, will read your comments. I assume you guys have a lot to say about the governor of Louisiana becoming the story of college football, but hopefully this game as well. Here that is for you now. Here's Lulu. And again, it's a good interview, and I'll see you on the other side.
All for the paper, and she's on your radio right now. And Lulu, I don't know if you've noticed, college football's kind of descended into chaos in the coaching carousel. How likely is South Carolina to jump into that boat with everybody else?
Well, first off, thanks for having me. I would lean towards unlikely. I know that a lot of people feel like Shane Beamer's seat should be hotter than it is right now, but I do think that a lot rides on maybe how he approaches the offensive coordinator position at the end of the year and sort of the steps that the university takes in that regard. I don't necessarily think that he should be fired at the end of this year. Obviously, it's on pace to be the worst in the 5 years he's been here, but I don't see South Carolina kind of jumping the gun the same way other schools have right now.
And especially next year, you could be one of, if not the best job. You, of course, being South Carolina, could be one of, if not the best jobs available. Whereas right now, it's a debate whether they're fourth or fifth.
Yes, that's a great point, too. I was sort of saying exactly that the other day to someone else, just the fact that, yeah, it's not the most attractive job on the market right now. And you have to be smart about if you're going to, you know, let go of a guy who's given a lot to the university, regardless of, you know, obviously I know wins and losses, they matter, but I do think Shane really fits the culture that South Carolina has and the vision that they had 5 years ago when hiring him. So you got to kind of take a really big swing. And if you miss with hiring, you know, it could backfire, and there aren't a ton of, you know, there's a lot of competition out there right now. Let's just say that.
You mentioned the offensive coordinator. I know that's been kind of a point of contention for Shane Beamer. They're in a competition with Auburn and Kentucky for the worst offense in the league. Why are they as bad as they are on paper offensively?
it sort of seems like it's one step forward, three steps back with them. I feel like when there's a new, you know, issue developing, or when something gets fixed, a new one comes up. An example, pre-snap penalties were a huge issue, especially for the offensive line. And I know that that doesn't, you know, tell the whole story, but those are momentum killers and sort of drive killers. And it's hard if you're Lenore Sellers, who's a very, you know, mobile, sort of catches you off guard type of quarterback, to continuously sort of do the stop and go and lose yardage. And then when pre-snap penalties get fixed, it feels like the passing game's off, or the run game can't get going. And I do think, you know, to kind of be a little bit blunt and harsh, I guess I think there's a little bit lack of creativity in whether that's play calling or just plays that maybe are more creative aren't being executed. I don't know. But I think that South Carolina is developing a lot of problems on its own. Yes, they face really great defenses, but a lot of self-inflicted errors game after game, particularly on the offensive end.
Lenore Sellers is physically impressive. And at times when you watch him play, I mean, it's shocking how physically talented he is. Is his lack of production a product of what's around him more so than his struggles, or is it a combination of both?
I mean, it's so tricky. We kind of say all the time, like, every quarterback in America, a win and a loss is a quarterback stat. So Lenore, you know, we can't excuse him for what's been going on with South Carolina. But at the same time, I do really think a lot of it is a product of what's around him. And, you know, there was one week I think he was basically going into it one of the most kind of pressured quarterbacks in the country, maybe behind, I think it was Arch Manning at the time. He got a lot more time to throw against Alabama, and I think that the offense kind of clicked because of that. So, yes, he's obviously not doing a ton on his own if you're looking at maybe his rushing yards compared to last year, but I think that still, you know, he's doing his best in a pretty difficult situation, and he's a perfectionist, and there's a lot of imperfection around him, and I imagine that that's a little bit tricky to work with, but I do see him trying to kind of grow and take steps forward despite maybe all the disappointment around.
So defensively, they were a pretty nasty group, complimentary, a season ago. Looking at them from our 30,000-foot view, you know, people just automatically assume, they're not good defensively either. They're not giving up a whole lot of points in these losses. How good is that side of the ball?
Yeah, on defense, I think a huge thing, too, is, I mean, Clayton White is a really great coach. He scouts offenses really well, and his teams show up prepared. And I think that against Alabama, it was just another game of like, okay, this defense can meet the moment. They lost a lot of leadership, a lot of really old veteran players. I mean, like, they had married men on the roster with kids last year. And when you lose that vocal leadership, it's an adjustment. But it's a really talented group that has sort of stepped up this year and almost won South Carolina some games. And I imagine that's pretty tricky when your offense just isn't scoring enough to upset LSU, or to, you know, the Alabama game. It felt like the defense did everything right up until that last, you know, 2 minutes, and that's disappointing. But on paper, the defense is, you know, sort of in the middle of the SEC this year, but definitely performing well considering all the talent that they lost and all the leadership they lost.
So Stewart last year was so impressive and a high-profile NIL case with how expensive he was. Is he living up to that billing?
In my eyes, yes, and I think, like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm going to blame the refs on everything. But, like, he's held a lot. He's double-teamed a lot. Teams are scouting for him. Last year it was really difficult because he had Kyle Kinnard opposite him. So it was sort of like, oh, God, like, these are two, you know, two really, really talented edge rushers that we have to account for, whereas people aren't scouting Brian Thomas Jr. the same way that they're scouting Dylan Stewart right now. And I think BT has done a fantastic job opposite him and actually leads South Carolina in sacks. But I think that Dylan is just, you know, he gets teams, they wake up in the morning looking to, you know, shut Dylan Stewart down. And I don't think he's necessarily not living up to it. I just think it's been a different year for him in terms of what he was facing, because not a lot of people really knew what he could do for the first couple weeks. And then teams started to adjust, but it was almost a little too late.
We've been talking this week about the possibility of South Carolina having essentially an emotional letdown. I mean, they played so well last week. The student section is basically on the field, ready to storm the field, and then they don't get a chance to do that. Is there a concern that they're going to be able to get back up and play well, or was last week kind of their best shot and they look at their record and may not have the morale that they did a week ago?
There's some interesting factors. I mean, this is only my second season covering the team, and granted, as much research as you can, the one thing that you can't really, you know unless you were there is how the fan base and the atmosphere in the city felt after a loss. And in my eyes, it felt like the Alabama loss was just devastating to a lot of people, but some people were coming on Twitter saying that wasn't even, you know, one of the most heartbreaking losses in, you know, the last 10 years, things like that. So I think that the fan base almost, it sounds harsh, but is used to the emotional roller coaster that this program, you know, has been. And I also think that, well, I'm not going to sit here and say South Carolina is giving, you know, enough on tape right now to give me the confidence that they're going to have the same turnaround they did last year. When Lenoris fumbled and lost the game and then didn't complete the two-point conversion against Alabama last year, they went on to win six straight. And I thought that was a moment where they were like, okay, this is a young kid who might not really be able to, you know, adjust so quickly to this offense. And it was kind of like a night and day difference the second half of the season. So South Carolina has a really, you know, ending SEC play with Ole Miss and A&M isn't easy, but I think that Saturday this game will tell a lot of, okay, where's everyone's heads at? Where's everyone mentally? Because I do think they still have some stuff left to prove.
Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. are really good at finding a weakness and just kind of beating you to death with it. What is that for South Carolina? What are they going to see on film to try to exploit on Saturday?
Well, I think that I heard a clip today. Someone was like, Lenore Sellers loves to get sacked. And I mean, I imagine that Lane Kiffin is going to target the fact that South Carolina has a pretty inconsistent and leaky offensive line. And they know, I mean, Lane said in his presser this week sort of something along the lines of like, hey, if you shut down Lenoris, that does a lot. I think it's pretty clear that not only does he run the offense by nature of his position, but he's probably the most consistent factor right now. And if they get him uncomfortable, I imagine Ole Miss is feeling pretty good. And the fact that they know that, okay, they're scoring a lot more than South Carolina is per game. They're going to try to take Dylan Stewart out of the equation, but I think that unless that they totally take Brian Thomas Jr. out, like I still think that South Carolina's D-line will create some, you know, discomfort.
Really good stuff. Thank you so much for your time. I know you're traveling today, like you told me earlier, so appreciate you taking some time despite that today. And if you're making the trip, safe travels, and we'll catch up down the line. Thank you.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm going from Atlanta to Mississippi tomorrow, and then I'll be there Saturday. But thank you so much.
Enjoy yourself.
All right. Hope you guys enjoyed that, and we'll get to your comments after I told you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. If you're a Mississippi business who needs technology in the office, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day with their online banking platform, their local loan servicing and decision-making, or their 16 locations across the state of Mississippi. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Boy, oh boy, at the Louisiana governor, he just keeps talking. If you're an LSU fan, you want him to change his mind, right? That's what they want. They want him to change his mind and to get out of this and to not, you know, disapprove of, look, what is going on with my shoulder? Do y'all see that? It's like I have a green screen, but I don't. You want him to get out of the way and allow them to just run it as normal, which good luck. And if you're an Ole Miss fan, which all of you are, you want him to just continue to talk and talk and talk and do all the radio hits and keep talking and keep talking and keep talking forever. This is easily the best Realtree uniform combo yet. I really, really like this one a lot. I really do. Go Tigers, right? Yeah. Lane is definitely not going to LSU. What a crap show. Well, look, I don't know. Who knows? I would just be, I don't know what he thinks. I don't know what he values. I don't know. Okay. I do know though, and what not enough people nationally are acknowledging, it's not, so many people are stuck in 2006 with this kind of stuff. So many people are just so hell-bent on believing that nothing has changed in college sports. And I don't know why, because everything about it has changed. And the same people that talk about how much it's changed still look at it through the same prism that they did when they were 20. And I don't understand why. If the governor is telling the truth and the people that he handpicked to run all of this don't change their minds about their approach, the idea that you are going to lowball a coach with an offer for fewer years and less guaranteed money, then I would just be very, very surprised if you get an honest engagement from somebody like a Lane Kiffin, who not only is doing well at his current job, but that current job is also elevating itself in ways that very few programs in the country can. I don't know why people cannot acknowledge in the era where financial resources is literally all that matters. And it's not potential resources, and people get caught up in that too. Well, I mean, their fan base is, it's so big, so they can have all this money. They just haven't tapped into it. Okay, well great. What good does that do right now? It doesn't matter how wealthy your alumni base is if you can't get them to give money to win football games, right? So you're looking at a school where he currently coaches that is going to give him a contract that is worth about $12 million a year for 6 or 7 years, if they can stretch it however long they need to make that happen, mostly guaranteed. He's got the highest paid assistant in the SEC, one of the highest paid offensive coordinators in the country. They're buying top three portal classes every single year, that they're paying for assistants and staff. And I mean, it's just, people don't acknowledge what that is. That is resources. And anyway, so look, if LSU gets their stuff together and they give a godfather offer, even with the crap show going on, I don't know what the end result would be. But I do know that you want the governor to hold firm on what he is saying to everyone. Who the hell are they going to get? They don't have a president, AD, or football coach. Well, they have promoted an AD, I suppose, and the president's going to get named here soon. But it's all, I mean, now it's all under a political umbrella. You think it kind of takes LSU off the table for Lane? Feels like he's too smart to get involved in all that drama. It'd be different if he didn't have the job that he currently has that is so aligned. You know what I mean? Everything is so aligned at Ole Miss right now. Everybody is in lockstep. University president, fundraising's unbelievable right now. It would be a different conversation if that wasn't the current situation. You'll be at the game too. Yeah, hey guys, if you see me, say hello. Told me about Oklahoma. You nailed it. We appreciate you. I appreciate you. Saw the athletics page put out the announcement about future student tickets. Hopefully they will implement the location feature that Tennessee uses to incentivize staying the whole game. Yeah, they have to do something like that. We've talked about that before on here. I'm not a fan shamer, but I do think you can incentivize student attendance very easily. And I can't believe it took them this long to do it, but progress. And I think you should reward students for going to other sports. That should matter too. Not just do they stay long at football games, but did the sophomore that's applying for tickets go to all the basketball games last year? Yeah, he should get priority, or she should get priority. You know what I mean? I think that supporting the other sports should also allow you to get something, whether it's early access or reserved section, whatever, for football. I think that you should incentivize going to the other ones too. I think they're going to get a juiced up crowd. The team should be up for it, but South Carolina is capable of keeping with Ole Miss for most of the game. Don't turn it over and don't give up the big play. Yeah. What's my prediction for Saturday? I do believe they should win, but if y'all watch Pete's breakdown with MPW, man, does it worry me. South Carolina is better than their record and defense must communicate. So South Carolina is, you know, you are what your record says you are, but yes, they have the ability. I mean, they did it with Alabama last week. They have talent, they have players and all that. I shouldn't say this because you shouldn't promote other people's content, but yeah, the Pete and Neil weekly podcast is the best content around, man. It's really good. It's really informative, no fluff, just straight ball knowledge from one guy and the ability to lead conversation and ask good questions from the other. It's very good content. Very, very good. Run the ball and the clock and have the defense get tired. South Carolina's biggest issue is protecting. They have a hard time protecting. Hope the D-line continues with the performance they had in Norman. Linebackers have to tackle Sellers. That's the key, you believe. They need to get home with four. I think they probably need to spy Sellers, right? He runs hundreds of yards each game based on scrambles alone. Yeah, I would assume that a similar look will be implemented this week than you saw last week, I would assume. Even the Washington State crowd was really good in the first half. Yeah, leaving early was that, you know, I understand the angst. I do. But everything else has been fine. It's been over capacity almost every game since COVID. Exactly. The social media stuff has just been dumb. And the people involved in it, I think, need to kind of reassess their approach to it, to be honest with you. Look at how many close games we get each week in the SEC. It's never a given. Don't be shocked if it's a one-possession game going into the fourth quarter. There's a chance, though, you have a pretty demoralized South Carolina team. There's certainly a chance. I will say that you're seeing that everywhere. I mean, there are more close games than there ever have been before in college football. Haven't watched any South Carolina games. How do their lines compare to Ole Miss's? Their offensive line is rough. It's really, really rough. Possibly worse than Oklahoma's. Their defensive line has possibly the most electric, one of the most electric pass rushers in the country, though. Pretty good there. Trinidad's going to have to make quick decisions. But I do like what they do with him, though, offensively, where they move the pocket, they get the ball out of his hands quick. That should help neutralize somebody like a Dylan Stewart. Had a coach gets fired almost every week now. Who's the most likely to join the club this Sunday? Hugh Freeze. Whoops. Muted the chat. There we go. What I've seen looks like their D-line is decent, but offensive line has been struggling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. South Carolina won't have a chance. You believe that loss had them lose hope. Not much more for them, especially since it's at Ole Miss. Why is Sage Ryan still starting? He played less Saturday. I think now you've got injury concern in the back end too, though. Remember when we complained about the lack of 30-plus point outputs by Ole Miss and SEC play? They've scored at least 30 in four of their last five league games. I'm telling you, man, it's something about what having to switch quarterbacks has done to the offense that has helped them almost. Yeah, Bama had very little run game. And Alabama had just played four consecutive ranked games. That was very prime for a letdown spot. LSU, Vandy, and Oklahoma made Sellers' life a living hell all game. Over, under 3.5 sacks for the Ole Miss defense. Over. Over. I'm going the over. Got to keep LSU the hell away from Keith Carter. Oh, buddy, you don't have to worry about that after what you've seen today. Shane Beamer's pretty abysmal as a coach on the road. Their best game was probably Alabama last year, and that was still a loss. Yeah, not good there. Lots of criticisms of the fans out there. For what it's worth, the Oklahoma road crowd was special. Tons of revs, and it was intense. Glad Kiffin recognized that, brought the team back out. Yeah, that was really nice. Never prepare for a field rush when it's not a guarantee. Yeah, South Carolina lost the bed there. Lost the bed. Think Beamer lost the fans last week. That was his big chance to get everyone back. Yep. Mm-hmm. Like to see the Ole Miss offensive line continue to show their ability to be very serviceable to good for Trinidad Chambliss. Pass blocking has been excellent. Run blocking, okay. Yeah, they need to run the football better. Carter said that we should be hearing something about, at this point, about plans for the stadium. Doesn't the Kiffin raise impact that? The West Side is about 60 years overdue for updates. The whole stadium is due for updates, but As long as they're having to pull as much as they can, because it's not just Kiffin, it's Kiffin, it's staff, it's Rev Share. Now Chris Beard is getting paid a pretty insane amount of money as well. That roster is expensive. I would be surprised if you're going to get movement on a full-on stadium project soon. I would love to be wrong. I would love to see that some donor stepped up to really enhance that thing. That'd be awesome. But I think right now money is still more important being spent elsewhere. First half of Oklahoma was the best half the offensive line has played all season. They were just okay enough to get by in the second, but that's a ferocious OU front. No, no, they suck now, remember? Oh, they're terrible. They're terrible now because Ole Miss beat them and now they suck. That's how it goes, right? Yeah, Hunter, I would ignore anybody that talks about Mississippi that way when it comes to, why would you want to stay there? It's literally just, no, just ignore it. It's not worth your time. You think Governor Landry likes to hear himself talk, so that shouldn't be an issue. He's going to keep his little fingers in the pot. It's hard. Once politicians get a little power, it's hard to get them to stop. Do you like it when the stadium goes all powder blue? I don't, actually, especially since it's going to be cold. Cold powder blue gear is harder to come by. Think the outcome of the Alabama-South Carolina game was perfect. Shows the danger of this team, but also has the Q word hanging over them coming to Oxford. Yeah. Don't think Charlie should be paid as much as he gets. Just saying. I understand. But have they not called pretty awesome offense this year? And also, Billy Napier tried to hire him away from Ole Miss. And so they paid to keep him. Do I think State gets Arkansas this weekend? I do, actually. And that will, if they do win that game, the Egg Bowl is going to be pretty intense. A chance not only for them to get to a bowl game, but also to knock Ole Miss out of the playoff. That's enough for that place to be nuts. Problems have gotten so big at LSU, the money won't cover it up anymore. I've recognized this for a long time there. I think all this stuff gets brought up to him by the leaders at Ole Miss when they talk about it. Oh, 100%, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you can't ignore this. Absolutely. It doesn't need to get brought up to him. Kiffin's agent, the governor of Louisiana, who was handling all of this at a press conference, called for the NCAA to investigate his agent. He's heard about this. Leadership is so important. Absolutely. It's everything. Finally have elite leadership. And unified. It's not... Leadership is the most important thing. You're exactly right. But you have to have unification from top to bottom, from the chancellor of the university all the way down to the non-alumni fan that can hopefully get to one game a year. Everybody is aligned in the same way. And it's very interesting because you have these conversations about factions and stuff like that. And of course, not every Ole Miss fan thinks literally the exact same. There are groups of boosters that are friends and they might not be friends with this one or whatever, but everybody that I encounter that is affiliated with Ole Miss has one goal when they talk about Ole Miss. Literally only one thing, and it's do whatever it takes to win. Here, Keith Carter, we trust you. Take my money, go win. Do whatever, just take this and go win. Here, Walker Jones, just take this, go win. Figure it out, we trust you, go. And that is unique to have a fan base so aligned in doing what it takes to win. So it doesn't matter how much money you could have. What matters is how much money you do have. You know what I mean? And Ole Miss is very good in the money you do have department. Yeah, South Carolina led at Missouri. I have a feeling it's going to go the way you think it is, though. Close. 2.5, 3/4, and then Ole Miss pulls away. Yeah, you're right. The current students don't know how good things are. My first game at Ole Miss was Jacksonville State. Welcome, brother. It's good to see you. No, it's okay, Hunter, if you brought it up. I have nice things to say about the content Neil and Chase produce, and they have when, for whatever reason, I've gotten brought up, they've had nice things to say. It's all good. I spoke to Neil last two media days ago. So it's been a little bit, but no, it's all good. You bring them up here. Not a problem at all. Not on their podcast, but I talk with Rippy, quarterly. We do a podcast together on there. So no, it's all good, man. Was last year's South Carolina game more due to talent mismatch or scheme? Both. Ole Miss was more talented and better coached. Do you think we get an update on stadium renovations after the season? I do. Austin, we're about to find out the answer of who would want to go there right now. Is Tulane still losing? It's a bad time to lose a football game for John Sumrall. Physically, Florida is the best of the three opponents remaining. How would you evaluate South Carolina versus Mississippi State? State's going to be more difficult than South Carolina. They're a little bit more complete. Now, they do dumb things that cost them games, but they're pretty darn good in the secondary. Kelly Jones, in particular, is an animal. They're better in the front six, not elite or anything by any stretch, but they're certainly better than they were a year ago. But that Lebby offense is good. They run the football really good. Fluff is getting healthy. Even if he doesn't play this weekend, he's getting close to being able to play again. But their running back room is good. They've got two really fast receivers, and Lebby schemes them open a lot. And, of course, it's on the road. O-line has been sneaky good this season. Pass protection, they've been awesome. Run blocking, they still have to get better. Yeah, I agree with you guys. Again, the red jersey with the helmet looks good. Helmet's not too flashy, but it looks different, but it looks good. Last year's I didn't like. If OU loses out, would Venables be on the hot seat? He would. I don't think they would move on in this cycle, but yeah. I think the VOD is about as the best it can be, can possibly be at this moment. The only thing they need to do is get their crap together with the pregame. When the team runs out, they have screwed it up. Is it still bad? Was really bad for the Washington State game. I mean, they've had some time to figure this out. So, thoughts on Oklahoma, Tennessee, and State versus Arkansas? Take the over in State Arkansas. Going to be points everywhere. And be rooting hard for Oklahoma. I think defensively they're going to, or excuse me, I think offensively they're going to have their best day of the season. You get Logan Diggs some carries. Lacey needs some rest. Kevin Smith special. Now, he did a hell of a job evaluating Kiwan Lacey, so it's probably a dumb thing for me to say, but yeah. Are you one of those spectators who won't wear fan gear but would match the color of the home fans? If I have it, yeah. Like if I'm going to a Georgia game, I'd wear something red to blend in. Especially if I was going with friends or somebody, you know, I would get into it. Not, I wouldn't wear like a Georgia shirt, but I would wear red or something if I'm going with some buddies that went there, and I'd blend in. Seems to lose every game. You want State to lose every game. Yeah. Why don't they throw more screens to the explosive roster of receivers? Always looking for deep routes. Well, see, that's the thing. The offense under Trinidad is a lot more close to the line of scrimmage. Yeah, the fireworks show is what one little guy is most looking forward to in between the third and fourth. So, how about Winston Watkins? He's going to be something special. Already is. noticed that out of the other SEC fan base has been Alabama stepping out and saying Lane should stay at Ole Miss and how it's on par with the big boys. Yeah, interesting. The narrative is shifting a little bit today, I've noticed, from bigger name media guys. Elite first game, yours was BYU 2011. Oh, that was the worst. That was the worst. And the girl I was dating at the time was trying to leave at halftime, and I told her no, and we broke up over it. I'm serious. She was so mad that I would not leave the football game at halftime. Furious. All my friends are doing it. She was so mad. And we broke up. I was like, I'm not leaving. We came to the football game. That's why we're here. That's why everybody's here. That's why we went to the Grove. It's for this. We didn't see eye to eye. Ole Miss tight ends. Yeah, Daquan Wright's been awesome. See, it being at 11 a.m. could be beneficial. It will be, for sure, especially if they don't get a win Saturday. If State wins, do we get Hey Dad getting the Egg Bowl chalked up as a future win? He will change his tune on it. You know that. Could you see a red helmet in the future? I know you've been a big red helmet guy. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Texas has a chance to go 1-3 these next four games. You don't want that. You do not want that. Woodward officially out. Yeah, look into his replacement. Type his replacement's name on Google and then type the word scandal and read about that. Maybe I should have left that day. Probably should have. Matthew Berry on ESPN was talking about that. Why would you leave for LSU with all the dysfunction? Yeah, see? I think the narrative is shifting a little bit. I hate to do this. I got to cut this off. We got good momentum, but I got to go, guys. Again, no post game because we will be there. I might record myself like in the car or something. I don't know. Just depending on how it goes and all that. But if you see me say something, I would love to see you guys. It'll be four of us, including little man. So we're hard to miss for sure. And I'll see you guys then, hopefully. And then, of course, we'll be back live on Sunday. See y'all then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.